أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners and viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you are well aware that in the previous lecture, we talked about the seal of prophecy. We did touch the lexical and technical meanings and concepts of seal, and a host of traditional and confessional arguments were raised to prove the seal of prophecy, that it is of those unique characteristics of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, that he is the last and the final messenger of Almighty Allah. So today, God willing, we are going to treat some three prominent and important Muslim scholars' view on seal of prophecy. So you know that the variety of opinions about the seal of prophecy changed this topic to a very difficult and complicated theological discussion. We can have two confessional and non-confessional perspectives. The topic of seal of prophecy can be studied, can be observed from two different confessional and non-confessional perspectives. So from a confessional perspective, we have studied and we put forth those traditional arguments which fostered and which proved the seal of prophecy. But what made it difficult, that is, to study the seal of prophecy from a non-confessional perspective. Non-confessional perspective means that, irrespective of being faithful to particular religion or to a particular reading of the religion, we have to study the seal of prophecy. And we have to pursue and search those rational arguments which stand for the seal of prophecy. So from this perspective, if we study, it becomes very much difficult and a bit complicated. So due to this, some of the Muslim intellectuals have studied the seal of prophecy from a non-confessional perspective. One of the first and most important one of them is Iqbal of Lahore, or Allama Iqbal, it is called in Pakistan. So he is one of those first figures who studied seal of prophecy from a non-confessional perspective. You know that due to his educational background, that he was there in the West and was fully acquainted with the Western schools of thought. So he studied seal of prophecy from that perspective, saying that revelation is related to those ancient times when the human beings had not reached their intellectual maturity. They were standing in dire need of revelation so that they have to be guided. But since modernity has come, since today's human beings are fully educated, they are fully developed, So they do not need revelation from now on. Why? Because they have developed their rationality, because their intellects have developed. According to Allama Iqbal, revelation is somehow an instinctive. So the animals are guided by instinctive. If the human beings reach their evolution, if the human beings exercise their development, so they do not need instincts. They do not need instinctive guidance. Rather, they have to develop and they have to design their own destiny by their own hands, by their own rational, by their own understanding. Furthermore, there is no need of the human beings to revelation. Why? Because after modernity, after the Enlightenment era, the human beings have reached the level that they can do what they can do for themselves. They can manage their life. They can manage their prosperity in this world. So there is no need that they have to abide by those religious and revelatory knowledge. It is the abstract argument that Allama Iqbal makes about revelation. And to further explain his opinion, it should be mentioned that Allama Iqbal is of the view that there are various stages in the human history. When the human beings were child, when the human beings were in their immature period, so they were in need of revelation and instinctive guidance. But now they have reached and they are provided with their intellectual maturity. So there is no need for revelation. So this understanding of Allama Iqbal seems to be contradictory with that of the typical Islamic recitation of the revelation. You know that there are various arguments that human beings would always remain in need of revelation. His intellect cannot compensate. His intellect cannot design prosperity for him in this world, even neither in this world nor in the hereafter. Intellect has nothing to do with designing prosperity in the life hereafter, because it does not have any access to the life hereafter, so that it has to produce verdicts and decrees for. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the core concern of Allama Iqbal is this, that revelation is something, an instinctive guidance. So today's human beings do not need, and they do not stand in need of instinctive guidance. Rather, they can manage their worldly affairs through their intellect, through their reasoning, through their demonstrative reasoning. As it was mentioned, this style or this kind of argument stands in contrast with the Islamic recitation, with the Islamic perspective, because during the necessity of human beings and prophets, we could prove that human beings would always stand in need of Almighty Allah and the revelation. Furthermore, according to Iqbal of Lahore, human beings can discern their expediencies, can discern and design their prosperity in this world. While from the Islamic perspective, it is true that human beings do not have this capacity to design their prosperity and to define their prosperity in this world, leaving aside the life hereafter. The third important criticism is that, according to Allama Iqbal, human being is able to conceive all aspects of human life. While we say that human beings are not able to have a thorough knowledge of himself, because human beings cannot be restricted to their physical and corporeal aspects. There are psychological, there are mental aspects, there are aspects that human beings cannot have access to. As it was mentioned, the life hereafter. Even if the human beings were able to define their prosperity or to define indexes of their prosperity in this world or for this world, again, we would have this question, so after that, what will happen? So here the revelation comes and says or gives us good news about the life hereafter. That if you do this in this world, for sure, in the life hereafter, you will be experiencing these results and these consequences. But our intellect cannot and does not have this authority to issue verdicts on what will happen after our demise. Only according to the Muslim scholars, Almighty Allah knows best what constitute the human beings. What are the most fundamental elements which guarantee the prosperity of the human beings in this world and in the life hereafter? In accordance with that, Almighty Allah sends us revelation, sends us guidelines, sends us, we can say, rulings that we have to do, and we have to manage our lives in accordance with those guidelines that He has sent through His messengers. So due to this, we cannot accept what is mentioned by Iqbal of Lahore. The second Muslim intellectual, that he has also a similar view of Allama Iqbal or Iqbal of Lahore, that is Dr. Shariati in Iran. He has also his own version of how to interpret the seal of prophecy. According to him, again, due to this, that the human beings have reached intellectual maturity, so from now on, there is no need that they have to be stuck or they have to be attached to revelatory knowledge or they have to receive revelation. So due to this, Almighty Allah stopped sending revelation through messengers and through prophets. But again, this answer that he has provided does not seem to be true. The same question comes, again, the same problem we are facing with, and that is that the human beings cannot have thorough knowledge of the human beings themselves. They cannot cover all human existential aspects, so that they have to produce decrees for all those existential aspects. Only Almighty Allah is the lawful legislator, for He is all knowledgeable, for He is all wise, for He is all merciful. The human beings cannot pass and enact laws and regulations for themselves, because most of the time they would either go to this extreme or to that. Sometimes they will excessively pay heed to materialistic pleasures, leaving aside those spiritual gains, and sometimes vice versa. So due to this, the human beings cannot have this authority that they have to rule and they have to legalize rules and regulations for the human beings. There is the third prominent intellectual called Ma'tit Murtada Mutahhari. He is the third Muslim intellectual that today, God willing, we are going to cover his views about the seal of prophecy. According to him, why the seal of prophecy occurs or why there is the seal of prophecy, he says that let's see what are the reasons where Almighty Allah time and again send the prophets. One of those reasons that Almighty Allah sent prophets consecutively, that was the alteration or distortion of the sacred books and inability of the human beings to keep and preserve their sacred books, to keep their spiritual and mental heritage. This is the most important reason he poses for this, that prophets were consecutively sent there in the previous ages. So Almighty Allah sent these prophets to revitalize and to revive those old teachings. This is very much important. For example, the people were not also very much careful of their spiritual heritage. And due to this, the tyrants could easily transform and change and alter the divine teachings. Though, for example, after the demise of the very prophet, there were some times that the human beings or that community could deal with those teachings, but after passage of time, the tyrants altered, and the tyrants could alter and change the divinely revealed prophet's teachings. So again, Almighty Allah had this expediency that another prophet should come, another prophet should be sent, and the same teachings should be revived once again. So then he says, due to this, that the human beings have reached their intellectual maturity, and the human beings could come across the art of writing, that through writing their revelation in those revealed verses, they could protect the content of those verses, so there was no need for further prophets. And due to this, there is the seal of prophecy. This is the first important argument he poses. The second argument is that there is no need for further prophets, that they have to come. Why? Because the human beings themselves have reached such a maturity. Now the human beings are in dire need of preachers rather than the prophets. Because those fundamental principles are safe and sound at the hands of the human beings. Those fundamental principles which are derived from the religion of Islam, they are still safe and sound. They have not been distorted. And this promise of Almighty Allah that I will keep this religion intact till the doomsday, that also adds to this reason, that there should be no further prophets, and there should be the seal of prophecy. Because the human beings have this ability to keep and to maintain their spiritual heritage, that is the Holy Quran. Since they have this ability to keep, since they have this understanding that how valuable or how worthy enough is their Holy Quran, so then there is no one that he has to be given this mission, that you have to go and keep or revive those teachings of mine. The human beings themselves have reached this intellectual maturity to keep and maintain their spiritual heritage from every kind of alteration and distortion. So due to this, there is no need. The last point is that the Muslim scholars play the very role that has been played by the prophets. What were doing the prophets? They were preparing the backgrounds so that the people should be guided in the straight path. He believes that the same role in the same part can be played by the scholars, by the Muslim sincere scholars, as it is also, we can say, proved by a very prophetic tradition that says, Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. How they hear the prophets? They do not hear the prophets' properties or material properties. Rather, the same mission, the same responsibility that has been undertaken by the prophets, that is undertaken by the Muslim scholars. The same values, the same norms, the same worldview that has been given by Almighty Allah's prophets, the same is promulgated, the same is spread by the Muslim scholars. So there is no need that another nominee by the name of prophets should come and emerge. Because Islam is the final religion, it is the most complete version of the religion, no one else will be there to come as prophets. Finally, in respect with Murtada Mutahhari's important view, it should be mentioned, according to him, These fundamental principles seem to be as rich in content minerals that all answers can be derived from this deep mineral. So you know that every now and then the human beings would require new verdicts for their new questions. What they have to do? You know that the very root of this question goes back to the very question we posed about the religion. There seems to be a contradiction. From one side, we say that the human beings are in dire need of revelation. On the other hand, we say that there is the seal of prophecy. So the question arises that how the human beings' needs should be fulfilled. So the reasons are many, including this, that the fundamental principles of Islam seem to be as deep mineral or as rich in content mineral, that all those questions can be answered through the very deep in content mineral. In another term that we can have and we have in Islam, that is ijtihad, scientific struggle. The Muslim scholars, the Muslim clergies try to derive Islamic verdicts, making use of those sources that they have access to. For example, having access to the Holy Quran, to the prophetic tradition. So all these make them well equipped to issue the new verdicts for new questions. Why? Because every human being is in dire need of the responses for his questions. Religious questions, political questions, economic questions, different sorts of questions he might have. So according to a Muslim scholar, if revelation has stopped, yes, but the religion that has been sent to us, that is the most complete religion. Almighty Allah said, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Today, I have just been satisfied that your religion, Islam, should be the religion for you. So the question arises, is this version able to give our answers till the doomsday? According to the Muslim scholars, yes. The question again arises, is it able to meet all those changeable needs of the human beings? Again, the Muslim scholars say yes. Why? Because not only Islam have touched the changeable and variable needs of the human beings, but also those fixed and unchangeable or immutable needs of the human beings. Human beings are always exposed to two different immutable or unimmutable, we can say, needs and necessities. They are always to face their immutable and changing needs and requirements. Islam does have this capacity, Islam does have this capability not to only answer those changeable or unchangeable questions, but also to those variable and changing questions. How? Firstly, there are fundamental principles that can govern over all the human beings' aspects. Secondly, there is a term called ijtihad, scientific struggle by the Muslim scholars to draw the verdicts from the Holy Quran, from the prophetic tradition, and to draw principles, rules, or maxims. You know that sometimes one maxim or one principle is able to cover part of the human being's life. For example, the principle of La dharar wa la dhirar. Only the examples, the extensions, I mean masadiq, of this principle differs. Otherwise, the content is the same. Today, the vehicles should not be parked in a manner that should harm your Muslim brother. So these principles are very much general, very much universal. To summarize what was the most important points raised by Shahid Muthari, that was this, that the possibility of distortion of the previous religions, this is the first reason that we have the seal of prophecy. The second is that the intellectual maturity of the human beings. And the third, the human beings need or necessity to preachers rather than those of the divine prophets. Through the preachers, their needs can be met and fulfilled. So there is no need that the prophecy should continue forever. So, dear listeners and respectable audience, these were the three important Muslim intellectuals' views about the seal of prophecy. Again, it should be emphasized and reiterated that the seal of prophecy can be studied from two confessional and non-confessional perspectives. From a confessional perspective, there are some valid and reasonable arguments that can prove the seal of the prophecy in our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as the seal of prophets, as the final messenger of Almighty Allah. To study the seal of prophecy from a non-confessional perspective, from a purely rational, we can say, approach, that seems a bit difficult to prove. May Almighty Allah bless us all that we have to understand all these concepts and later on apply them in our own practical life so that we have to be given the eternal felicity. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.